Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to First Nazarene Church. Thank you for being here today on this freezing cold day in January where we all wonder why we don't live somewhere further south. Amen? No? Is that just me? I think when I walked outside this morning, it said negative 34 degrees wind chill, and I'm like, here we go. At the same time, I was like, it's January, all is right in the world, it's freezing cold, and the Kansas City Chiefs are winning playoff football games. There's another Chiefs fan somewhere in Illinois. Come talk to me after the service. We need to be friends. This is wonderful. For those of you that maybe knew, I'm from Kansas. That's my team, and so I get excited when we win. But thank you for being with us in church today. Whether you're here every single week, or whether you're here today, somebody invited you, and you came with them, you're sitting with them. Thank you for joining our church. After the service at guest services, we'd love to meet you, and someone will be there to talk with you and give you a gift. And for those of you online, maybe more of you today being cold, thank you for being with us. And again, let us know you're new on that Connect card too. And just up front, I know some of you may saw I was wearing a mask down here front. I was exposed to COVID late this week, and so I'm okay, but this is a personal thing. I'd personally feel bad. Do you know how many people a pastor talks to on a Sunday morning? I would feel bad later if this week if I felt bad and then all of you got sick too. And so I want you to know if I wasn't talking with you before service or after service, I wasn't trying to actively avoid you, like, oh, there they are, let's not talk. That's why I was wearing a mask this morning. So truly my favorite thing on Sundays is getting to talk to you all, the people of the church. And so, you may have also noticed something else this morning, some fancy First Nazarene apparel floating around. Today is finally the day. We've been talking about this for months, but today our First Nazarene online apparel shop goes live today. And so you can get your First Naz merch. And first service, people were like cheering and excited. I was like, you are, again, the one Chiefs fan is just cheering me on today, I think. I love it. We want to let you know that First Naz merch is available. You can go online and purchase that. For those of you that may be new, we've been talking about this for months as a way to be able to invite others to church. I want to remind us of the why. Why are we doing this as a church? Why would we have an apparel store where you could buy things with the church's name on it? First of all, it's not just so that you can look fashionable. If you need that, if your wife says you need that, that is true. It is there for you. Use it. It is not so that the church can make money. The church would get zero profit from this, just so you're aware. We've really created this as a tool for invitation so that you would buy something, that you would wear it, that you would enjoy it, first of all. And then when you're in public and other people notice it, they say, what is that about? That you'd be ready and equipped. You'd say, here's the one thing I love about my church, and maybe you could join me. Whether you could come online or come with me in person, that our merch would be a tool of invitation. And so just want to remind you of that, and I do hope you pick up some things. You can order that in the First Naz app, that QR code around you, or our website this week. If you want to look at it later this week, firstnaz.cc, or if you want to talk to somebody at Next Step Corner, they'll be there too. It does ship directly to your house, nice and convenient, and we're having a two-week window. We know most of our orders will come in bulk in these first 2 weeks, so put your order in the first 2 weeks, and then it will ship after that and get to you in February. Well, today we continue our series called 21 Days. I would really encourage you, if you were not here, if you were not with us last week, this series really every Sunday builds on the previous one. We're taking the things from last Sunday and then we're building in another new practice this week too. So if you weren't here, I really would encourage you on the app, YouTube, wherever, go back and watch last week's message. What we're deciding as a church for these 21 days, what would it look like for each and every person that's here in the room, and for those of us online, to say for 21 days, I want to try to draw closer to God. I want to get to know God more, or even if you're not a Christian, I want to explore my faith more in the next 21 days. I want to experiment with these Christian practices that have been handed down over centuries as tried and tested ways to know God more. What if I spent 21 days in trying? And I would encourage you to do that. And if you weren't here last week, start tomorrow. Your 21-day clock starts tomorrow. For some of you, obviously, you'll continue on from last week. Last week, we talked about prayer and fasting. To fast, to intentionally abstain from something in our life, and to pray, to focus on one thing that we're praying for in these 21 days. I really do wish I could have more one-on-one conversations with you. For those of you that are doing this, to say, how's it going? Like, how is it? What are you choosing to fast? How's it been going? After service last week, I was in the lobby. There was a family, and the middle schooler was with them in church. And, hey, Pastor, our middle schooler was in there, and he's deciding to fast, to abstain from something intentionally for 21 days. He chose something to fast. And I was like, really? I'm like all excited. You know, middle schooler leaning in, engaging. I love it. What did he choose? Oh, yeah, for the next 21 days, he is choosing to intentionally go without vegetables. That's what he chose. And I loved it. I started laughing really hard, and Mom was like, I think he missed the point. And he's like, no, I think he ended up maybe choosing YouTube or something like that. But I love that, vegetables. But for you, what was it? Or if you heard last week's message and you haven't started, maybe again you would start tomorrow. I know one friend of mine is give up all screen time, TV, streaming services in the evening for these 21 days. Another's fasting Wednesdays and Fridays. For me is all social media for 21 days. So if you send me a message and I didn't respond, I'm super sorry, but that's why. And to fast on Mondays. And I was immediately regretting the decision to not be on social media for 21 days because Monday morning last week, I woke up and we have our little magnet on the fridge of the one thing that we're praying for. And my daughter had drawn a picture on it. And I was like, Lillian, come here. She's my six-year-old. Come here. This is not what this is supposed to be, like a spiritual thing. Like, this is what we're praying for. It's not just for you to draw pictures on. She goes, Daddy, this is what I'm praying for. I said, what? So I look at the picture a little closer. And she's like, you see that, Dad? That's the church. And then that's me right next to it. I've decided for the next week, we're still working on the time frames, okay? I've decided for the next week that I want to know Jesus more. So I'm praying for the days to go faster so I can go back to church to learn more about him. I was like, aw, proud dad moment. I'm gonna share this on social media. Never mind. No, I'm not. I'm not gonna do that. But whatever it's been for you, I hope it has been good and that you continue to do that for these next 7 days. But today, what if I told you there's a place to find wisdom, advice, and help, and practical kinds of wisdom? How do I live in relationship with my friends or my spouse? How do I run or manage my business? How do I know what is right and how I should treat others? What if there was a source that had this and so much more? And what if I told you it was more reliable than Google? It can give you more wisdom than you could find on an internet search, and it is more tried, tested, and true than any modern philosophy or cultural new trend or thought of the day. Of course, what I'd be referring to when I'm talking about this source is the Bible. And you're like, yes, you're a pastor. I knew you were gonna say the Bible. I saw that coming a mile away. This book is uniquely different than anything else that you will ever encounter or any other book that you would pick up. When I was researching book sales this week, I was shocked and dumbfounded to find that Twilight has sold more than 43 million copies of their books. Apparently, vampires and teenage love, we love it. Harry Potter, more than 107 million. Lord of the Rings, as great as it is, at 140 million copies. But the Bible has been produced and distributed more than 5 billion copies. What's so special about this book? What is it that makes us so drawn to it? Why is it so important? Historically speaking, it's the most sold, most widely circulated, and potentially the most transformative, powerful, and life-altering book in the world. And yet for many of us, it has turned into a dust collector beside our bed or an app that went uninstalled on our phone because we never opened it. It's lost on us because it's free and we can find it anywhere. But do we recognize the power and the message that is contained within the scriptures. Thousands, even tens of thousands of people just this year will die because of their faith in Jesus, because of the message that this book contains. It can be divisive. It does have exclusive claims. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to God except through him. Because of this message and because we believe it so heartedly, people will do their best to do away with it, to burn it, to get rid of it, and those who believe it as well. It's powerful. Do we recognize what is contained within it? Do we grasp how God could use it in our life? Today, it is a different book. It's not just a book. And the first thing I would say is that it is a divinely inspired book. I want to look at this from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, our main passage from today. It says this: all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Today, I want to walk through this passage of scripture together in three different phases. And as I do, I recognize today is more about teaching, maybe even than preaching. Just like last week, what I want to share with you today may be more informative, things that you have never thought about before, but really what is most important is not necessarily that you came to church today, but what you do with the message now this week after you hear it. First of all, it says all scripture is inspired by God. You can tell a lot about a book by who wrote it. And maybe you haven't ever considered, you've been coming to church your whole life and you know the Bible is important to Christians, but you're not even really sure maybe the makeup. What is the Bible? I would share with you today that the Bible is made up. It's not just one book. It's actually a collection. It's a library. It's a collection of 66 different books containing a variety of genres, from history to poetry to prophecy to wisdom literature, letters, and apocalyptic writings. These 66 books were written by 40 different human authors, coming from a variety of backgrounds. Some were shepherds, some were farmers, some were kings, some were prophets, some were doctors, and others. Most of these authors, think about this, never knew each other personally. More than that, as they were writing over a period of 1,500 years in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and on three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe. And here's what's fascinating to me. As you consider that this is truth of, okay, all these different people writing, all these different books, very different kinds of writings, never met each other, so many years, so many places, yet what you find when you look at scripture is one common message and theme that is the same throughout. That God has created the world, and here's how it functions. The humanity has turned its back on God, choosing what we want more than what God would want for us. And then this story of God working with humanity to try to bring about what is good and right and beautiful and just, functionally heaven here on earth within God's presence. Until humanity, it becomes clear that we cannot do this on our own. So God himself comes, he sends his son Jesus. He lives the perfect life, the life that we were designed to live, an abundant life full of love and joy and peace, honoring God, not sinning, and loving one another. And Jesus on himself took on the sin of us all, the entire world on the cross. God put all of our sin on him. He died for our sins. And then in his resurrection, he offers us new life. If we would believe in him, we find, yes, the forgiveness of sins, but we get invited to this family of God, the church, made of all different people, language, nationalities, to honor God, to love God, and to love others, to begin to live renewed, this abundant life that we had been created for. Until one day, God is using the church as an outpost of the kingdom of heaven as he's ushering it into the earth here as it is in heaven, until Jesus comes back again and establishes physically his rule and reign on the earth. This is the story, the grand narrative that we're invited into. And we read these words so when we can say to you, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what you've done, it doesn't matter what you think of yourself, we can look at you and say, God loves you. And so we, the church, love you. We want you to come back to God and find how you should live. Experience the kind of life he's prepared for you. So even if you're new to our community, that's why we're so happy that you're here to hear these words. You see, this isn't just a book by so many different people. Actually, when you zoom out, you see there's a divine author who has his hand in it all throughout. And actually, I want to show you this picture. This is a scripture references images. So from the very beginning, from Genesis all the way to the end, Revelation, every colored line represents when the Bible is referring to itself, or here is an event that happened back here that then is referred to back here. And then you begin to wonder, wait a minute, how are all these authors who never met each other over so many years able to speak of the same exact things? And you see this beautiful narrative that is so intertwined. It's because God is the one who's writing it. If you would challenge that you think this is just human beings who wrote it, I would ask you to go to any library in the world, pick out 66 books, different authors, different years, locations. How do they fit together? It's impossible, unless maybe God was the one who wrote it. So we believe that the Bible is inspired by God. God breathed to humanity, who wrote it down in their own language and culture with their own understanding. And then secondly, it says all scripture is inspired by God. And then the next line said, and useful. It's useful for us today, useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So this isn't just God wrote it and it's nice from 2,000 years ago. No, for us today, it's useful and it teaches us. What does it teach us? It teaches us what is good and what is true. This is our authoritative foundation for truth. In a world that is so desperately longing for truth, well, what is truth? And there's my truth and your truth. We realize that in our own subjective reality, we need an objective outside truth to really show us what is true. And in these pages, we find the God who is truth revealing himself to us. So we find truth within the pages. And it says, teaches us what is right, and it corrects us when we are wrong. When we're reading things and we're like, ooh, that's challenging to me, it's convicting. I hope you recognize there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation is speaking from the words of the enemy. This is done, this is final, this is over, you are condemned, you have been judged. Yet God doesn't condemn us, but he does convict us. He shows us what is wrong and teaches us that is supposed to bring us back to what is right because he loves us. It corrects us when we are wrong. The last line of this, all scripture is inspired by God, it's useful to teach us. And then finally it says, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. That's why when you come to church, we open this book every week because we believe God is using it to prepare you, to equip you. What has God called you to do? To love your family well, to love your friends well, to lead your business well, to interact with others in love and grace. So as we read from this, this book teaches us, it equips us, it shows us how to live and prepares us to do the good work he has prepared for us to do. Romans says that such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. We can find teaching in it. And the scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we patiently wait for God's promises to be filled. When we're going through the difficulties of life, when a loved one receives a diagnosis, right after we've attended the funeral, we go to the words of scripture for comfort, for hope, and encouragement. We read things like, it will not always be this way. Just as Jesus has defied death, so too will we one day. In the end, when Jesus comes back, if you go Revelation 21:22, says he is coming and he wipes every tear from our eyes. Death and mourning will be no more. For Jesus will come and sit on a throne and make all things new. These words should inspire us to have a hopeful outlook on life and inspire us that things that are there in the world today and that is not as it should be will not always be this way. It encourages us. And finally, I want to share this verse with you as maybe a last verse of how do we use scripture today? For me, it's probably one of my favorites. Hebrews 4 says, for the word of God is alive, powerful, or living and active. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our inmost thoughts and desires. So God breathed to humans who wrote these words in their own time and culture. But when we read it, it's not just ancient writings from thousands of years ago. When we read it, God's Holy Spirit comes and makes it alive and active in our lives. What does that mean? What does that look like? don't know if you've ever been at home and you're reading the words of Scripture, and you come to Scripture, and maybe you pray beforehand, God, I'm worried, and I'm afraid, and this worry is paralyzing, and you know where I stand today. I want to seek you, and I want to read your Scripture. And then you begin to read things like, do not worry, for your Father, who's known every hair on your heads, he knows what you need even before you ask. Or you read another Scripture that says, God has given you everything you need for a life of godliness. You read other Scriptures, cast your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. And for you in that moment, if you've had it and you're reading and you're like, oh my gosh, God, you see me. You know that I'm worried and you care for me. It says it right here. It becomes more than just words on a page, but it jumps out because it's living and alive and it speaks to you. Even if you haven't had that moment at home reading the Scripture, maybe you've come to a place and as you've come to church, you've experienced this moment. Maybe there's a Scripture on the screen or something we share. And so many of you will come up after service and say, Pastor Galen, I don't know how you knew what was going on in my life, but this was speaking directly to me today. And first of all, when you say that, I want you to know I don't follow you around. I don't follow you to Meijer. I'm not the car behind you in the coffee shop. I don't know what's going on in your life. So when that moment happens, you should see that as the work of the Holy Spirit, taking these words, making them alive, and speaking them into your life today of what you need to hear. It's alive, it is powerful, and it speaks to us. So if all these things are true, if this book is inspired by God, it's useful, it teaches us what is true, it's a living and alive and powerful in our lives today, then the question becomes, so why don't we read our Bible? And maybe first of all, we've never really realized what it is. Maybe everything I've shared this morning, you've never heard these things before, you've never had such a high view of Scripture before. And yet in your life, you do have questions. Okay, if God created me, how would he want me to live? What would his will be for me? One pastor says, we cannot know God's will if we are ignorant of God's word. Or some of us would say, God, I want you to speak to me. I want to hear your voice. Another pastor said, God opens his mouth when we open our Bibles. And he speaks to us. We've never really realized what it is, maybe. Or secondly, why don't we read our Bible? I'd say probably this is most of us today. You'd say something like, I tried it once, and I got really confused really quickly. I started reading, and who are these people, and why did that happen, and why would God say that, and why is there such a long list of names of people that I can't pronounce anyway? What's this town in the Middle East? I'm really confused. I would say most of us would fall into this category, but I want you to be encouraged. For me, it's at least encouraging. There's a part in Peter, 2 Peter, when he's writing, and he says, you know, Paul, who's written a lot of the other New Testament letters, said, Paul writes with the wisdom that God gave him. I understand that when you read his letters, sometimes it is confusing. And then he actually goes on to say, and some people have used those words and twisted them for their own gain. And sadly, maybe some of you have experienced that, where a pastor or a person will take a verse and pluck it out of context and use it for their own advantages. Yet even that verse says, those that do that, that will be their destruction. But he says, listen, I understand sometimes it's confusing. And for me, here's actually the beauty of the church. You shouldn't get discouraged when you're confused. In fact, the Bible is best read with other people. For when you read something and you're confused by it, somebody else in the circle, maybe who's been walking with Jesus a little bit longer, would say, you know, actually, I understand that verse to mean this way. I think this is why that's in the Bible. And we learn and we grow as we are together. That's why I love in our life groups where we sit around and we read Scripture together and we simply talk about it. We believe God uses that to help us grow in our faith. But even if you can't get into a group, you can read it on your own and grow in your faith there. I would encourage you that getting confused, don't let that stop you from picking it up again. Or maybe, why don't we read the Bible? We've simply never thought about it. You've never had a pastor stand up front on a Sunday morning with a fancy white shoes he got for Christmas and tell you to read your Bible. It's never happened, so you've never picked it up before. Much like I said about prayer last week, it's not so much the fact that we don't have the time or we don't make the time, maybe we just don't think about it. And prayer and Bible reading now in the same way, maybe we would begin again. So as a church, let's do it. during these 21 days. Let's be a people who commit. God, I want to know you more. I want to know who you are. I want your word to be alive and powerful in my life. I want to commit to reading the Bible with you. And here's how it fits into our 21 days. Last week, if you started praying and fasting, some of you immediately noticed when you're abstaining, when you're fasting from something, you have so much more time than you thought you had. Some of you, I had a friend who texts me who's not watching any streaming services in the evening, no TV, anything, and they're like, Galen, I have so much time now. I don't know what to do with myself, and I still don't want to do laundry. I still don't want to pick up the room, but if I'm fasting from now, I have more time. I would share with you this quote. I think it's a powerful thought. Fasting is more about actually replacing than it is about abstaining. We're replacing normal activities with focused times of prayer and feeding on the Word of God. So we replace, if we're not eating that meal, we instead maybe spend that time this week reading Scripture. When we're missing that activity that we're fasting from, instead we would turn to the Bible and replace what we are fasting with God's Word. So you say, okay, Galen, I'm in. Where do I begin? How do we do this? First of all, I'd say don't do the whole turn and flip method, if you've heard of that. Like, here, let's go here. You'll be jumping into a place where you don't know the context, you don't know the words, not a great idea. I actually encourage most people to don't start from the beginning. Maybe there's, you know, familiar story, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and maybe you've heard of those thoughts, even if you've never read it. But new people or people exploring their faith or people new to the church, I must always tell them, start with Jesus. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the four accounts of Jesus' life, and read about Jesus. If this is God in flesh, God made man, how does God interact with people? What kinds of things does he speak to them? What kinds of questions does he ask? Look at Jesus. If you want a clear picture of who God is, look and read about Jesus. Together as a church, we've provided for you a Bible reading plan. As you leave this place by both of the doors, there's a piece of paper. If you weren't here last week, take everything on the table, one of everything. But this week, grab the Bible reading plan. We're going to start in the book of John and read just a paragraph or two a day and reflect on that paragraph together and begin to read God's word together. For you, if you're new to Bible reading and you say, if I've been confused, what would be helpful? And I would really encourage you, if you want to buy a physical Bible, to look into what is called a study Bible. I'll show you a picture here of my Bible even preparing for this week. In a study Bible, up top, you'll find here's the actual words of Scripture, and there's a line, and everything below the line gives context or explains or gives a challenging thought based on what you're reading up here. So you'd read, and if it's confusing or you want to know more, then you come down here and read, and it begins to explain more. I found it to be a very helpful tool, and so have many others, a study Bible. And as you read this week, that you would reflect. You wouldn't just read and check off the box, woohoo, I did it. But instead, we would reflect on it. Maybe you would ask yourself questions like these. And I understand if you're taking notes today, this is a lot to write down. If you want to take a picture, you can do that. That is fine. But as you would read, you would say, what words or phrases are sticking out to me today? Why do I notice them? Is God trying to tell me something through those words or phrases? Why do you think this is included in the Bible? Why would God choose to include this in the Bible? This passage or story, what does it tell me about people, humanity? What does it tell me about how God interacts with them? Or maybe after I've read it, how should I live differently now that I've read this? Or maybe how should I pray? God, help me to become like those people. Help me to not become like those people. And then when you finish to pray, God, would you transform me as I engage with your word? Would you shape and transform me over time to turn me into the person that you have created me to be, living as you would want me to live? When I think about Bible reading, I want to share just this one last story with you. This week I was thinking about, there's a miracle that Jesus does. It's actually his first recorded one in the book of John. Jesus goes to a wedding, and they're all drinking wine, and the wine is running out. And the hosts of the party are going to be ashamed because they're not able to provide for their guests. And Mary, Jesus' mom, hears about this and tells the servants, go find Jesus, do whatever he tells you to do. So they go to Jesus, and Jesus tells these servants, these everyday people, go get some jars and fill them with water. And I wonder if the servants were like, Jesus, we need wine. Like, I don't know if you heard your mom. Go talk to your mom. You got it wrong. We need wine, not water. Jesus says, go fill those jars with water. So the servants obey. They go and they fill them with water. And then when they come back, wouldn't you know, has been changed and transformed into wine. And the host of the party says, wow, you saved the best for last. This is actually the best wine. Here's why I tell you this story of Jesus and why it's stuck in my brain this week. Oftentimes in life, we want something new. We see the transformed result in our minds of the life that we want to live with God. I want to be transformed. And yet the invitation from Jesus often looks very, very ordinary. Hey, go get some jars, go fill them up with water. Jesus calls us to do something very plain and ordinary. Yet if we obediently respond, as we do, then we find the transformation that comes. To me, this is Jesus' invitation to us to participate in our own transformation. God, don't just change me, but Jesus says, well, come with me, and as you do this thing, you will be transformed as you do it. When I think about our Bible reading, ordinary people doing ordinary things, reading, but yet there's something extraordinary about this book. The Holy Spirit would come and make it come alive again and teach us and correct us and lead us and guide us. And ultimately, as we do, maybe over not every single day, like, wow, I'm changed. But over time, we would find ourselves to be a life transformed. I'll end with what I did last week. As you leave this place, some of you may say, well, it's good to be in church today, but when I leave, I'm probably not going to change anything about my life. And if you do, that's fine, and probably nothing will change about your life. But others of you, would you lean in and say, okay, for 21 days, in the midst of this time, prayer, fasting, okay, now I'm going to add to it Bible reading, I'm in. God, would you change and transform me by doing something differently than I have ever done? I want to engage with it. And by the hopes of doing these small spiritual practices that over time they would keep you spiritually fed and alive so that you would know God, not just with your head, I believe in him, but with your heart, I know him and I love him. Would you join with me in prayer today? God, first of all, we thank you for your word today. We thank you that you spoke to humanity over all these years and you're still speaking today, that we might find who you are, who you say you are, how you interact with us. God, we might find this divine love story where you reveal your heart to us. That again, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter what we think of ourselves, that you love us. You've created us to know us, and that you invite us to come back and enter into a relationship with you, that we may be forgiven of our sin and given new life, to live life as it should be, loving you and loving and serving others. God, thank you for your word that you give to us. Help us to respond to that word obediently. For some of us to say, Jesus, I'm coming home to you. Forgive me of my sin. Put me back in right relationship with you. Help me to live for you. And God, for all of us today, may we be changed and transformed during these times with you. God, just as I've been praying in these 21 days, as we set aside time to fast, to pray, and now to read, you would meet us in those moments, that you would reveal something to us. Something that just is enough for today to keep us alive today. And then tomorrow, enough for that day to keep us going that day. God, would you speak to us through your word this week as we read it to encounter and to know you. God, ultimately our heart and our prayer is this. As we draw near to you, would you draw near to us? Christ, would you be magnified in our lives? That we would begin to look more and more like you, Jesus. As we follow you, may we actually become more like you too. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.